It's your favorite Hoosie. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Seated with
Lebo
and Tato Rambele, guys. It's good to, you know, give you guys another episode. Today's very exciting. We're speaking about what's the ideal age gap between yourself and your partner.
Yeah,
you
very know, controversial.
Very controversial.
Very, very controversial.
When is it, you know, we were speaking about it earlier.
When is it grooming? When is it not grooming?
Can a younger man, you know, be groomed by an older woman? Can a young woman groom an old man?
Yeah.
When is it acceptable for someone to date, you know, specific ages? Very excited to go into that. But before we get into that, I want us to do a how are you?
Oh.
What's up?
Perfect. Perfect like it's right.
What do you know about this one?
Bro, Tato's literally just pulling out like...
Guys, I want to speak about something real quick. I've been trying to find something that reminds me of my two favorite countries. I'm talking about Italy. I'm talking about China, baby. And I have seen now that Lays has dropped two amazing bangers. I'm talking about...
Thank you.
The Chinese five spice, something Lebo just tasted right now. And of course, the Italian truffle and garlic. These things are definitely something you want to taste. And what's even more exciting is that Lay's has so many different prizes that you can win. So don't waste time. Try these bangers. Lebo and I are currently, I don't know how the hell we made it to China. Next step.
I'm last one.
Next episode, we might end up somewhere different, guys. Definitely try out the new Lay's flavors. It's you. So I want to start us off by just talking about the legal ages of consent. I think it would be a nice layer to see what you know our government is saying. Literally reading from Google, and I can stand to be corrected. In South Africa, the age of consent for sexual activity is 16 years for both boys and girls. However, there are some exceptions. Children between 12 and 16... If both partners are between the ages of 12 and 16, they would not be criminally charged. That's insane, because what do you mean?
Like,
what are you doing at 12 doing those things? Children under 16 and a partner less than 2 years older will not be criminally charged. It is not a criminal for a child under the age of 16 to have sex with a partner who is less than 2 years older than them.
Yeah.
So when you're 16, the max you can go to is 18.
Yeah.
If you're 15...
I don't know.
17. Yeah. Basically, the age of consent in South Africa is 16, yeah? So if you are 18, 17, you can date a 50-year-old, 70-year-old, according to what is legal.
Yeah, definitely. But I think, like, for you guys listening today, like, the podcast is more of, you know, if you're in high school and stuff and listening to this, please don't apply what we're about to say.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about, like, if you're, like, 21 plus, you know, what you're looking for. I was actually looking at some statistic earlier on today. In 2022, the average age difference between couples was actually 5.4 years, which is actually in South Africa, by the way. I'm not doing a statistic of worldwide. It's just in sub-Saharan Africa, it was 5.4. In South Africa, it was 4 years. So we're looking around, if you're 20, you'd be dating someone 25. If you're 25, you're dating someone 29 to 30. And we have this whole conversation that me and my friends keep having about, you know, what is the perfect age to marry?
Yeah.
We've all sat down as men with our uncles and our fathers, and they tell us that you need to marry very young so that your wife doesn't, you know, age at the same time as you. Some of the stereotypes that we've faced, but age is probably, to me, one of the most biggest contributing factors in a sense of, according to obviously our topics today, in a sense of mindset, finances, and expectation. Mm. The expectations of a 20-year-old will not be the same expectations of a 24-year-old.
Yeah, we're talking about a Big Mac versus a designer bag.
Yeah.
Or an 18-year-old is happy with a Big Mac. A 25-year-old maybe wants you to get them a new coat from Zara.
Yeah.
Sorry, my watch just broke and I'm actually really sad.
Don't say that.
Like, I'm seeing that the link is loose. Every time
you watch.
Yeah, I bought a bunch. Every time I get like a link removed on a watch, these babes don't know how to close it properly.
So they don't screw it back in
properly.
That's why there's no point in changing the link unless you go to the actual store that made the thing.
I went into the actual store. Oh, like, it was before I made the purchase. But anyway, the expectation is crazy financially, even mentally, right?
Yeah.
So for me, a big reason why I don't like dating like significantly younger than me is because of the mental hardship I've gone, which has then made me into someone who is mentally like stable, right?
Yeah.
So now I know that a fight with a 20-year-old will be different compared to a fight with a 25-year-old, right? A 25-year-old probably knows how to regulate better, probably knows how to communicate better, you know? So that's one thing that me personally, if I make it about myself, prevents me from dating significantly younger. But we can't lie, there are pros and there are cons to doing, you know, that too. Because like one of the pros, obviously, if you're someone that's 25, there's more mental stability, frontal lobe, communication is better. But if you're someone that's maybe 22, it's a thing of like, maybe they feel the age gap is so big that they have to overcompensate and prove maturity to you. So the whole time you're in this power dynamic where the younger person is trying to prove themselves to you that they are suitable for you. And that can be deemed as a pro because you've got a girl trying her utmost best. You know, but also that is what people speak about. I honestly go eventually go into grooming because that's also like a big
topic. Literally what I was literally thinking now. Because obviously this being such a controversial topic, I'll try to divide it up into different types of groups that you could date to make it more appropriate. Because I know you guys, your clip is a post saying Lebo said this and he likes this. So I'll say, okay, cool. So there's the res girls, university girls, and then there will be the newly appointed work.
First year working.
First to 2 years, 1 to 3 years of experience of work. And then you've got your established women. So we'll split it up into those three groups to make it more politically correct. I definitely think we need to go back a couple of steps in the black man's journey. Because as a black man, when I am in university, the university girl would like to date the next group, which would be the 1 to 3 years experience. When I date the 1 to 3 years experience, she would like to date the next group, which is man. Which is the established man. God. When you get to the established woman, she wants to date the shareholder and the board member. So as men, it is more likely for you to start dating young. And I want to make that a realistic thing. I know women will be like, oh no, it's wrong. You must stick to your peers. Our peers, unfortunately, aim higher. And it's not a bad thing. You know, we don't shame women for, you know, seeing where their value lies and then wanting more, etc. But that this conversation in South Africa has always been portrayed in a negative light towards men. And I want to also just direct it towards women as well. Because I would not be the devil's advocate on this podcast if I didn't do so. I truly believe women don't act like they contribute to this whole age gap in dating. They're like, oh no, this one. You know what I'm saying? Like, we use words such as grooming, where men apparently are on scooping up women, grooming them to becoming what they like and et cetera. And think, don't get me wrong, which is a real thing. It is a real thing. But we don't place women's hands in wanting to be groomed. I mean, real.
I mean, No. Because with grooming, it's like, if we fast forward the definition of grooming, it's someone who's mentally stable. They are, their frontal lobe is developed. They have more experience. They understand more. They're more sick. They have more power. Then the person who's younger, they are being groomed. So there's a groom me
and the groomer,
right? So now the groomee is obviously easily manipulated. So in that, you can't say it's their choice. That's why they're saying it's grooming. It's like, for example, if I say, Lebo, you should put your hand over that candle. I've done it 1,000 times. That's how we light up candles.
I see you as an older person. I put my hand, I burn.
Then you say, you know what? This burning feeling is normal.
Yeah.
I'm meant to feel this burning feeling because this guy said it's okay. So now when it comes to, you know, you guys fixing discussions and fights, when it comes to how they take care of you, when it comes to, you know, the control they have over you, because that's all you knew from this older person, you are then groomed into becoming what that person wants you to be, whether it's safe or not, whether it's healthy or not. Now, for example, you'll inherit habits because you say it's your first relationship because you're so young. You'll inherit habits like you can't follow any guys on social media. Or you can't leave the house after 8. And then you think that's what's meant to happen in a relationship because you've been groomed to behave like that. So I hear you saying, like, no, dude.
I hear you saying that,
you know, even they contribute to women because they're the ones that are, like, being groomed. But it's like, no, they're at the mental level where they're easily influenced.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm trying to say is, because I think the word using grooming was, like, a very hectic thing. But just for the audience's sake, right, just to get a proper definition here, grooming in dating refers to a manipulative, coercive behavior where one person gradually builds a relationship with another person, often with the intention of exploiting or abusing them. Grooming can involve building trust and rapport, isolating the person from friends and family, creating a sense of dependence and obligation. We'll go into that one. a bit deeper, and gradually introducing a controlling and abusive behavior. So as Tato said, you know, it's that thing of put your hand over the fire, you burn, etc. I'm going to convince you. Tato's talking about like how people take advantage of those whose frontal lobes are not developed, and then they gradually get into this lifestyle. But let's talk about how that all begins. And that all goes into, I'm jumping ahead, and that's our second topic of like social media. But social media has ultimately destroyed the narrative of peer dating. And what I mean by peer dating is a year to 2 year gap of dating.
Yeah.
And that is only because of unrealistic financial expectations on men that is being portrayed on the internet, which of course leads to women dating maybe just 1 year older. Then maybe they say 2 years, and they say 3 years.
Yeah.
And I know I started off a bit hectic saying no, but women contribute to their own grooming. I truly believe on earth we all have free will. We all make choices, we all make educated choices. We all are responsible for our own well-beings. I do fully understand that men do take advantage of young women. And I'm going to go back to the definition because I really like that point. I do know men isolate their partners from friends and family. That's the biggest one.
Yeah.
And I do know there's a creating of a sense of dependence and obligation. And maybe we can dive deeper into how both parties play into those two things.
Yeah, you know, as you speak here, I'm trying to think and understand, like, because I'm there, like, no, you know, obviously, if this person is 20 and this person is 27, it's obvious that this 27-year-old is going to be able to groom them.
Yeah.
But if we're saying the age of consent is 16, for allowing people to start working from the age of 18, 16, are they actually being groomed? Because a 19-year-old can also groom an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Or an 18-year-old can also groom an 18-year-old because a bad habit is a bad habit.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm 18 and my partner's 18 and I tell them that, like, yo, when you go out, you send me your live location, you text me every 20 minutes, it's still manipulative. It's still the definition. Because when you read the definition, there's nothing about age.
Yeah, that's the first thing, you
know?
I noticed. Yeah.
So, like, I'm trying to understand that, you know? But obviously, I can definitely acknowledge the power dynamic that exists between someone who is more, you know, financially stable and older versus a younger person. But I think we also can't ignore that. I can't say you're wrong by saying women also put themselves in positions where they want someone that is more financially, you know, advanced. And then in that, they develop the negative and positive, you know, things that contribute towards that type of relationship.
I think it's all what you're saying. Like, I think for a long time, because I'm shocked now by this definition of grooming has nothing to do with age.
Just Google it. Say, ask
because I need to maybe Google it because I asked Meta AI, guys. You have to
ask
Meta
AI now. They say, does age contribute towards grooming?
Yeah, it definitely does, bro. How can it not? I mean, it's a power dynamic at the end of the day. You're going to respect your elders and et cetera. I'm going to keep going into more of like what we were speaking about, the social and cultural impact of age gaps, right? And I definitely think it all starts in the African home with our parents. A lot of our parents' age gaps are not 1 year, 2 years. It's not 1 year, 3 year, Ibile. It can even sometimes range from 5, 6, you know, in the African traditional home.
I'm
know?
So sorry, ne?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I want to read this thing about what AI is saying about grooming.
Go ahead.
So it says, yes, age can be a factor in grooming. Children and adolescents are more vulnerable to grooming due to their naive, their trust, development stage, you know, the limited emotional regulation. So they are more susceptible
to being groomed.
Yeah. However, it's essential to note that grooming can occur at any age. Even adults can be groomed, especially if they're vulnerable due to circumstance like isolation, trauma, or power imbalances. And then it further says, power dynamics play a significant role in grooming. Grooming often involves an imbalance of power, which can be exploited regardless of age. So when we speak about grooming, I think you're definitely correct. Age can be a factor, but grooming is not directed towards
it's like
age.
An act. It's like gaslighting.
Yeah.
It's like gaslighting. Gaslighting doesn't have an age dependency for you to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I definitely think...
But the younger, but we can acknowledge...
But we can all acknowledge.
...are more susceptible to
it
due to their development.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh, man, very controversial topic. You know, if I had to speak on my own experience of dating, you know, I've seen how, like, how much as a man, like, the difference in, like, dating someone 2 years younger, dating someone your age, dating someone 1 year younger, dating someone, I've even dated someone 3 years younger than me, you know? And I've seen the difference in that state, in those stages. But it's like Tata said, indirectly with your ages, already a power dynamic is created.
Yeah.
And it's not even like on purpose. You guys could be like, you know, it on could, the same page, low key.
There could even be a power dynamic just due to gender.
Yeah, it can also just be due to gender as a whole. But I don't know, man. Like I was saying earlier, like, this thing starts at home, man. Like, a lot of us in black families, our parents are married with a significant age gap of maybe 3, 4, 5. Sometimes it's even 10. I know it sounds ridiculous now, but we're speaking about it obviously in reality. You know, that's what we do. We're seated of ourselves. We're talking about these difficult conversations. But I like to start it there. We never judge our parents. You never say, Papa, when you were 15. You never say, Papa, when you were 18, Mama was in grade 5. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We never say those things because we understand that people can be mature. We understand that people do have, people can, you know, I've met a lot of girls, guys, who have obviously told me, yeah, I'm 20, I'm dating someone
35.
And the first question always is, oh, you're not worried how much older they are. And what do girls always say? No. I find myself pretty mature. Now, this word is a very dangerous word.
I feel like people that use the word mature don't even know what it means.
They don't even
let's
know.
Let's check. Let's get the definition.
Get the definition. But as I was looking for the definition, I want to say how dangerous the word mature is. We've created a society where people who are 18 can use the word mature in order to portray themselves as 25. We've created a society where people are 20 can say mature and portray themselves as 28.
Just because you're soft-spoken doesn't mean you're mature.
Yeah, or because
by the way,
you've watched a couple of NPR desk performances and you listen to 3 podcasts in a week, that does not mean you are mature. Maturity comes with a certain level of experience.
So, maturity in relationships, like I made about relationships.
Okay.
Mature and maturity in relationships refer to the ability to navigate complex emotions, conflicts, and responsibilities in a thoughtful, respectful, and resilient manner. Here are some key aspects of maturity in relationships. Emotional maturity, self-awareness, recognizing and understanding your emotions, needs, and limitations.
Yeah.
Do you even know yourself? Number 2, emotional regulation. I love the word regulation.
Yeah.
Managing your emotions, especially during conflicts and challenging situations. When you and your baby are fighting, are you calm, cool, and collected? Or are you raising your voice and snapping your fingers? Because if you're raising your voice and snapping your fingers, let me tell you something, my sister, you are not much whole. Number 3, empathy. Understanding and respecting your partner's feelings, needs, and perspectives during a fight, during conflict with your other person. Nah? Are you thinking about how the words you are saying might hurt their feelings? Mm. Are you even considering how they are feeling? Mm. Or is it all about you? If it's all about you and getting your point across, my sister, let me tell you something. My brother, you are the furthest thing from mature.
I think while Tata's reading these definitions, now, I'm thinking to myself, am I mature, right? And the only way to fully be able to answer all those things that Tata said, basically, or defined rather, is via experience, man. And I really dislike this thing of my, because I'm 25, my 25-year-old friends telling me they're dating a 48-year-old man and saying they are mature. When the maturity of a 45-year-old man cannot be caught up in 20 years.
It cannot be caught up in 20 years. It can't.
I think if we just to give you guys more context, let's discuss some of the challenges that, you know, let's do 30, because it's closer, so we'll have more of a understand. A 30-year-old will face compared to the challenges that a 21-year-old will face. I'll start. 30-year-old, am I going to pay mortgage? Am I going to buy a house? 21, I should study more. I should graduate. How can those two worlds now coexist? Yeah. Like, the only way they can coexist is if they have a mimosa, La Parada, a Gucci slide, vacations to Cape Town. Because people say, no, what do you even talk to? Like, that's the number one question. That's the next question. What do you even talk to your 45-year-old partner about? And what will look you in the eyes and say, everything. I talk to them about everything. And he helps me with everything. Gives me advice. And I think
is that wrong though?
No, I don't think it's wrong, but I do think a lot of women place their partners into parental figures. You feel me? And men do it vice versa, but in a more, I want to say, in a more motherly role compared to fatherly role.
I mean, we.
I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Like,
I do. I hear 100%. We've been told that men are meant to lead their partners, right? And ideally, you can only really be in a position of leadership
if
when you've had experience.
And
do you get what I'm saying? Because I've been in a situation where I've dated somebody younger than me. Let's say I'm working, I'm an entrepreneur, and they were studying, right? And they were quite mature, you know. They also had some businesses, also a content creator. It's my ex, everybody knows. And in that dynamic, I'm what? I'm 27, she's 23 this year.
Yeah.
So we were 5 years apart. Come on, I. In that dynamic, like when I would stress about business and stuff, I would speak to her. When I had ideas and stuff, I would speak to her. Obviously, I would know how to execute better. But, you know, I think she's 24 this year, actually. But anyway, my point is 4 years apart. 5 years apart, eh?
I think four.
4 years apart, yeah. My point is, she hadn't walked the path that I had walked, but she was able to brainstorm with me, connect with me, hear me out, let me know what she thinks. And I mean, vice versa. She would be going through hardships with her businesses and or maybe, you know, university and whatever. And I'd also be able to pitch in, you know. So I feel like sometimes you don't need to have like experience in the thing that you're helping the person with. If you're able to listen, help, you know, have an open ear, brainstorm, allow for collaboration. I was able to lead her. She was able to lead me too. But like the age gap, you know, it worked. And it allowed for me to be a leader. And it allowed for her to go into the nurturing role. And then when it was time for her to lead, it allowed for me to go into a nurturing role. So it's like, because you're speaking about now, like obviously, like yo, what do you connect with? It's like, you connect, I feel like in a relationship, you always connect with whatever you are going through. And even if that person doesn't understand that thing, it's okay. Like if I'm talking about like, for example, like I've opened up a new studio, I've got rent to pay, I've got receptionists to pay, I've got people to pay. When I speak to my hardships to my partner, she'll listen.
Yeah, she'll listen. She won't relate.
She won't relate.
But she'll listen.
She'll listen. And it's up to the type of person that you're with, right? Because now you get these people who listen and they care for you. They have empathy. They have respect. And they care for your problems and they listen. And then they give you a response that you need if you need that response. But then you have other people that are saying, what are you talking about work? So get a drink, relax, and stress.
Mr. Stress.
So now it's not about age, it's about...
Yeah, and I definitely think...
the portfolio of the person you've chosen.
Yeah, and with what Tato's saying, which is going to go into like the second part of like our podcast, we're not saying having an age gap with your partner is incorrect. We are just saying, please, as men, and this is purely for the black men, let's not... You keep man, as a leader in the relationship, you ultimately deciding the direction of your relationship. Let us not take advantage of a younger being in the sake of them being naive or the sake of thing. I'm not saying maturity, it doesn't exist. You can't relate to what. I did say that earlier. I'm saying that in a sense of we must also be realistic in terms of where we are in our lives. You know what I mean? Tato speaking about someone, you know, like 5 years younger, cool, aware, sharp. But he still formulates a connection. He still formulates a sense of understanding. What is your understanding in your age gap?
Yeah.
And I think those are the things that I really have a problem with. I've seen girls date bros. They speak to them maybe once a day, call once a day, ask for money twice a day, and then ask for money twice a day, and then go to an expensive restaurant once a week. And that's the complete, she can't go to his house and maybe he's married, maybe, it does not matter though.
I wonder how those things work, eh?
I know how one of them.
I think some guys just like having a pretty girl next to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a status thing at a restaurant, you're with a beautiful girl. And then you have someone that's looking good.
Yeah.
And I think guys, let's be honest, guys all love the chase.
Yeah.
So I think these older guys, let's say you're 45, you're going for like a 20-year-old, you're enjoying the chase. You're enjoying that the fact that you're enjoying the fact that there's even a possibility of you achieving this person. Because once that person is achieved, these guys just leave the babes alone.
No man, I think it's a deeper insecurity of when you were 20 something, you couldn't get the girls that were 20 something.
Yeah.
Now you're 40 something.
Yeah.
You have the money. You have the you have the power to be able to obtain this individual. So you do it now.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that when you do it, because we cannot stop those people from doing it, let us have a sense of, one, comprehension, two, communication, three, an understanding that, yes, we're not going to ignore the fact that you are 6 years or younger than me. We're not going to ignore the fact that you are 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Let us embrace it, in fact, and say, yo, these are the things that I've probably been through that you have not been through.
Yeah.
Because one of the big things that happens with age gaps is undermining. And I feel like that's a big, big, big thing of why I'm so anti, like, an age gap being really big.
Yeah.
Unless, and for me, I want to marry young. I know it sounds hypocritical now. I'm like, what? But that's just because that's been built into me via multiple men speaking to me in wada.
So you know, I want us to eventually get into an age gap where we say acceptable towards the end. But I'm seeing something that I can also feel why I'm a bit pop in this episode. You didn't ask me how I am.
Yeah, no wonder, bro.
I haven't released the stresses of the week.
I was in a car accident like 4 days ago. I haven't spoken about that on the podcast.
We haven't released our, you know, guys, you know, when we do the how I use, that's us really taking out all the negatives.
Yeah.
And cherishing the positives.
It's clearing the canvas.
Because I've been struggling with this episode, man.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't asked me how are you?
Yeah, a bit late. I'm horrible. Yo, I'm low-key horrible. Worst year of my life, officially. I didn't want to use that phrase ever, like, in my entirety of my life. But I think this was one of the worst years of my life.
Yeah.
I was in a car accident.
Why is it the worst year of your life?
I was in a car accident this year. I nearly died, like, five days ago now. Unemployment. I've been on survival mode the whole year. I've not relaxed once. Not in terms of, like, relaxing as in like I'm not doing anything. I mean relaxing as like, oh, everything is sorted, I'm stable. Money is good, money will pour in this month. I can afford this,
You're on.
I was on edge for the past, I don't know how long. And if I'm being honest, I'm just so tired of like, of acting like everything's gonna be okay. But hey, this is the big point of difference between faith and hope, you know? And I have faith in my Lord and Savior. I understand this is my God's ultimate plan that I have contributed to and that I have made my free will to become to this setting and this place. But yeah, I'm really horrible. I'm really sad. I'm really broken in my heart. But I'm just trying to overcome it because I understand that like these bad things happen to everyone, man. Like bad things happen to everyone at any point in time. You just have to keep going.
Yeah.
So that's how I am. I know that's a very sad how I am, which maybe explains my energy on this podcast. But how are you?
I've got a little bit of flu now, I think. That's one thing. But I think I'm in a weird era in my life.
Yeah.
In the sense that my things are fine, okay? Like ups and downs. Obviously financially things always come up and down. That's normal.
Mm.
It's our industry. Mentally also things will come up and down. But I'm reaching an age and a position in life where I think I've found myself. I know who I am.
Mm.
I like who I am. I love what I do.
I've got a tattoo. Sorry. I'm waiting.
I'm getting this. I like who I am. I love what I do, you know. Man, my frontal lobe has been developed for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm in a position where it's like, okay, I think I'm yearning for companionship again. I'm not enjoying these talking stage vibes, two seconds things.
Yeah.
But I know that a relationship can never come when you're seeking it. But I'm also like, man, I also have to be intentional with the things that I want. When I want to make more money, I work harder.
Mm.
When I want to open up a business, I do research. So it's like with relationships and marriage and stuff, I'm like, yo, no, if I want to find somebody, I have to put myself in the right positions.
Mm.
So I feel like I've been making this man who is obviously myself and my environment, who's soft, who is loving, who is considerate, who's understanding, who can spoil a woman, who can court a woman, but I've got a certain character. And I like that character, and I feel like I'm ready to share that character with someone.
Yeah.
But the problem is now, when I share it with certain people, I can be deemed across as like, some people love it, they love who I am, they love my personality. But other girls can deem you as like, hey, this guy's actually so soft. Like, I need someone that can like, someone that can like, you know,
yeah,
hold me down and like, yeah, you know, push me to the edge. And,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, I'm not like that. So when you're intentional about dating and going on dates and stuff, like you're gonna bump into a lot of
Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't say Rotten Tomatoes, Tato. You know, I call it the wrong side of the magnet. Like,
yeah, I'm going to bump into people that are more compatible.
Yeah, negative and negative, bro. Negative, like, and negative. You just saying to yourself, like, oh, yeah, everybody's... Like, I think that's the romanticizing of relationships and love and stuff. Everyone's a positive. Like, I'll get to know this person. I can fall in love with anyone.
I'm very straight. I do one date if I don't feel it. If I don't see a wife and instant connection, I don't do it again.
Yeah, like, for me...
One chance, Charlie.
For me, on a relationship...
One chance, Charlie.
On a relationship sense, right? Like, what's other saying? Because it really, really touched me. Sometime. I forgot even when it was. But someone told me I was too touchy. I never touched them again.
See...
I want to make sure you understand this, guys. Like,
as soon as you cancel my methods of loving you,
I'm out, bro.
Like, what
that was your chance, by the way.
Yeah, no, sorry.
That was your chance, by the way.
I was with a girl once. She was like, yeah, she watches this podcast. She was like, yeah, but this is like, so I'm also like very PDA.
Yeah.
And we spoke about this once I was on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm very PDA. And she was like, hey, your level of touch right now is at a 10. Can we take it to like a 4?
Yeah.
I said, hey, I put it on a 0, blood.
You put it on 0, blood. Because I'm a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I only got one life. So I'm a once-in-a-lifetime
opportunity. Might be the last time I get to touch your thigh, my bro.
Yeah, so... Yeah, man, yo, I needed that. How are you? I think we all did, yo.
Yeah, and then in terms of like lifestyle and stuff, I'm also... See, what's going on with my mic? I'm not enjoying the
really?
Life we're living anymore. Yeah, like... We're juttering ourselves, man. So, obviously, my friends and I live like rock stars. I'll be honest. Party. Everything that comes with party is attached. Parties, girls, vibes, whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Not me, though.
And it's like, it's becoming boring, man.
Boring or repetitive?
But, I mean, that's what breeds boredom. Repetition.
I don't know, bro. I just think that our group has done it all. Like, I think our group has done majority of what you can do in Johannesburg. Excuse me, guys. We've done wine tasting. I'm talking about this year. We've done wine tasting. We've done Sun City. We've done Gold Reef. I've been to Gold Reef.
Did you go? Let me tell you guys a quick story.
But I think our group just loves doing things. What type of group of?
Let me try paint a picture for how we live.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go
so
ahead.
So one time we were out, you know, group of guys, group of girls. We go out to the club. After the club, we go to KFC. We've met these girls today. We say, hey, guys.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Would you guys like to go to Sun City tomorrow?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah, of course. Mind you, it's 2 a.m. Like, oh, but we're leaving at 5.
I haven't heard a lie yet. I will tell you guys when he lies.
We're leaving at 5. It's 2 o'clock. Okay, so everybody must go home, pack a bag.
Yeah, quick,
and
shower.
Then we'll fetch you guys at about
make
5,
a group
6.
Chat. Make a group chat.
Yeah, cool. There's 4 lovely young ladies.
Yeah.
Pick them up. Drive to Sun City.
Have a day at Sun City.
Buy a bunch of alcohol, you know, pay entrance fee. I think we swiped like 5K on entrances that day.
I could not believe it. Okay, that just shows you it wasn't like 4 girls. It was like a lot, but...
Sun City, ice cream, drinks flowing, energy going, food being bought, Lazy River.
Yeah.
After Sun City, is it the same day we book an Airbnb?
Yeah. You guys booked. You guys booked.
I wasn't there. Okay, yeah.
No, not on some like I'm lying and like the camera's there.
Yeah, yeah.
I genuinely was not part of the booking team.
Yeah,
so you too were
there.
Not.
I went to home.
Yeah.
The guys booked the Airbnb.
But you went to the Airbnb.
I went to the Airbnb.
I did not go to that Airbnb.
Even there?
I didn't go once.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah. Had a bra, fire.
Yeah, you guys had a bra.
My point of our story is that we are very impromptu. True.
Impulsive.
We're impulsive and punctual. So we live life to the highest level that we can afford.
Like we believe that like, yo, work hard, play hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we've done it all. Like I was telling Khunse that I want to start like a running club next year. And that's just purely not because I have any interest in running or I have any interest in my body. I just am such a socialite that I am getting bored of meeting people at the clubs, at bowling, wada.
So even me, and you know what I'm saying is boring. It's boring meeting because I've realized that like we've shifted topic. I feel like we enjoyed the conversation about age.
Yeah,
we'll wrap it up again later.
Sorry guys,
this is our podcast. This is what we're going through right now. It's our how are you?
So sorry, yeah.
I saw a TikTok, and then guys, we're diving into club culture for a little bit. I saw a TikTok. It said that it's so funny how you guys don't know how many of the goals that have been planted inside the club.
Work for the club, yeah.
It was Sol Penduka, actually. Yeah. And I went and thought about an institution that we frequent often. And I realized that most of the goals at that place
work there
or have been brought there to make the club look a specific way. And it made me feel so dirty because I felt like, okay, cool. Like, as a client, when I go to this institution or this establishment, I enter, I'm greeted, I'm given bottle service. They've attacked me with 5-star service. I sit down.
Service
is great. I see 3 pretty girls there, you know. These pretty girls are eyeing me. They're looking at me. But I'm not realizing that I'm a KPI.
Yeah.
They have to speak to me and make me spend more money in order for them to get paid.
Yeah. They drink the alcohol. They come into your section. You're confused why they're grabbing the Hennessy and drinking it straight. It's because they need you to buy more. That baby needs to meet her quota. No, I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I'm sorry.
It just made me feel so sad. And it made me re-look club culture.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if we have our fun at the club and we are trying to get married, have long-term relationships, one day have children, or even just have good business relationships, my man, we are the client when we enter there.
Yeah.
Everyone around you is there to make you spend more money. Why would we find those things inside the club? Which is why I'm saying I'm so bored of that.
Which is why a running club... Because if you can convince a woman to run 5 kilometers, I mean...
She's the one.
Realistically speaking, she's pulling up with like, what? Her shorts or some nice sneakers. You have a quick conversation of a coffee. Hey, hi. Yeah. We all right. Come on. You're slowing down. That's the plan. But I like Tato's saying, like, club culture for us is definitely something that we are... I want to say slowly moving away from. Because... yeah, we get a sense of fun from it and et cetera, and it's like a peak of happiness. But I think we can all accept that we just do this because that's our only sense of like being outside and being like letting go.
Yeah.
Because we don't get to let go in many places, guys. Like, you know, I'm always on like my best behavior if I'm outside of my house.
Yeah, true.
If I'm making sense.
Yeah.
Like if I'm at the gym, I'm at Liberal, I'm petty at the gym. I don't want to like wild out now and start doing my... I can't be free. I can't just like, you know, dance and what. But at the club, I know it's very private. It's very dark. It's very dim. I can be myself. I can dance if I want to dance. I can talk the way I want to talk. Mm. I can have fun with my friends, dance with my friends. And there's not a lot of opportunities in Joburg to do that. Mm. I mean, Farmer's Market used to be it. But then now, I mean, look at it. I mean, honestly, it's a club now as well.
I want to ask you, so what would you do as my brother? If let's say I meet somebody in jam and I'm like, Lebza, this person's the one. I'm going to propose to them in September. And it's been 2 months of me seeing them. And you're like, bro, it's only been 2 months.
Have I met them?
No, like, let's say I meet them now.
And you're going to marry them in Jan?
No. Then in Jan, you meet them.
And then September, you're going to marry them.
I'm taking out Lobola.
I'd ask you if you're sure. If you say yes, then I'll say, okay, good luck. You know why I say that? Because I've heard of stories multiple times where people meet on the day, get married, they've been married for 15 years.
Yeah.
So I'll never ever take away from that. But obviously I will be a bit like hesitant.
Like, who's this person?
Yeah. I want to ask you, me at 25, which age of girl do you think would best suit my lifestyle and who I am right now?
21, 22.
Really? Oh, rah. Rah.
What's a 4-year gap?
That just broke my heart a little bit. Because I basically asked him, where do you see me mentally? And he said, 21.
No, let me unpack. Let me unpack.
So unpack.
You said, say what you said again.
I said, where you see me right now, lifestyle, mentality,
have a lot of free time.
I do.
So when I said 21, it's like you need maybe a student. Because a student also has a lot of free time.
Yeah.
So someone to, you know, be with you there when you're doing your shoes, chill with you, give you all the time and attention. Number two, the lifestyle that we live doesn't allow for you to be with someone who's got a 9-to-5,
I think,
Monday to Friday, because you're going to stress them, brother. You're having too much fun.
Yeah, man.
So you're on the wavelength of someone that's still having lots of fun.
Yeah.
Because now if you're with someone that's 24, they're working too, you're going to get bored, man.
I wanna go back to the reason I asked you that question, I wanna go back to the age thing and say, like, you know, maybe I'm wrong about the maturity thing, because I've been thinking about this mature thing. I've been asking myself throughout this podcast in my mind, am I mature? is it not? Am I not wrong at saying you can meet a 19-year-old man and a 42-year-old boy?
Yeah, it's the truth.
It's the truth, right?
It's true.
So in that sense, right, a 42-year-old boy dating a 20-year-old, he's dating his mind capacity.
There's no grooming happening. There's
no grooming. He doesn't groomed. Even know how to groom. He's being groomed. They're telling him to wash the dishes at home.
He says, yes, sir.
To clean this thing. Yes, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm trying, sorry, because I always try to look at these things at different perspectives.
In a holistic way, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, yeah, man. Like, but anyways, guys, just to move away from this age dating thing completely and go on to just maybe a lighter-hearted topic, what age do you think you will get married? Because I want this on camera for mom and papa. Got you, mom and papa. Did it for you. They asked me to do this on podcast so we can have something solid. What age do you think you'll get married?
So let's say ideally I meet someone in the next year. Make sure I'm 28. So let's say I meet someone, I'm 28 next year maybe. Hi, someone.
So 31.
I meet them at 28. Then I will do 29.
Okay, if you meet them, let's be realistic. You meet them 29, 30. Yo. That's the realistic.
Yeah, then I'll get married at 34. Yarr.
Okay, so we're looking between 31 and 34.
No.
That's what we're looking for. That's 33 the
age. 33 and 36.
33, 36. That's a good age.
Yeah, then I'll have kids at 37.
Yeah, me, hey, I do child.
Really?
I want to finish school fees as fast as possible, Dad. I don't want to wait. I do children in the next 9 months. I do kids. She doesn't know what I'm saying. I do to the marriage and a child.
For me, it's I do wait 4 years.
Uh-uh.
I want to say my wife.
No,
you know, I have to go pick up my wife. You know, my wife's coming
from Italy. I feel like you get to... like
my wife.
It's either you get to enjoy your partner when they're retired or in the beginning. You can choose.
Where do you want to enjoy them in retirement?
I'll choose
they
later.
Can die.
No, dude, I was talking about this the other day. I was like, dude, you know, when you are 40, how old do you think your kid will be?
Like 16.
Hey! Still in high school, 400,000 a year. School fees, sarawara. You're 40, by the way, bro. You've been fighting this life for 40 years. I'm already tired at 25, bro.
But actually, I'm wrong because I'm 27, bro. I'll be 40s in 13 years. My kid will be like 11, 10.
And now when you're 36?
Yeah, because if I'm 36...
No. I could have waited 4 years. So 37 is when you're having the kid.
So when I'm 40, I'll
when you're 40, dude, no, dude. When you're 47, the kid's 10. I do in kid. The kid's 10. When is this bro going to move out and take care of us?
Well, maybe it's time for me to start operating.
I'm trying to tell you. That's the vision, bro. I don't want no kids. When I'm still... I want to still be like young and like a young dad.
We have to make kids at the same... So you
yeah, want, at the same time.
That's the
yeah.
thing. So do you want family though? Do you yearn for family? Do you yearn for buying juice every day for your kids? Spending time with them? Laughing with them?
No. Right now... I wouldn't say I yearn for family. I yearn more for companionship, which will teach me about being part of a family that's with someone that's not my blood.
See, I don't yearn for family, so I'm like, but I'm realizing after what you said now, hey, man.
But that's just called family planning, brother. It has nothing to do with my emotions. No, I'm being for real.
See, maybe it's time
for school fees increases per year, by the way.
I'll be too rich to worry about the prices of things.
By God's grace. But hey, even the rich complain about school fees because they're doing expensive schools.
My kids are all going to government schools.
And now my kids are going to private all the way from grade one all the way to matric. But that's not my point, bro. Like, having kids early is like a low-key dream for me. But yeah, guys, as you can see...
I get why Sean has 3 kids now.
Why wouldn't you? You nearly done. He's nearly done. He's low-key nearly done with what we call life.
That's true.
And like, low-key, like, I get it, there's certain things that you need to obtain. Etc. But I actually had a call with my friend, Shozi, the other day. Funniest conversation. We're having a conversation. He's telling me he's single, etc., etc. I looked at him, I'm like, Puri, like, he's telling me, oh, yeah, I got my first big bonus. I'm getting my first big bonus. I'm like, Puri, I'm like, yes, it's Puri, like, soon you're going to be making, like, you know,
a significant amount of money.
I'm looking left, I'm looking right. You're making all that money for you, Puri. Just you. You're not going to have a girlfriend or something. And he was like, damn, live with it. I can't even sleep at night. I work so hard so I can share this with my family one day. I don't even have a starting point of the family. as I didn't even have a starting point with the family because, bro, I guarantee you, every brew would be happy with like what 60,000 a month. They have a nice place, nice whip, and they live life and they travel. Every brew will be happy with that, right? I'm not saying that brews won't be happy with that. But there's a certain type of brew he aims to accumulate wealth to build a family. And that type of brew, bro, like I can tell you now, a lot of us right now, we are those brews, we just don't know it yet.
You think so?
100%.
You think we're subconsciously trying to build for our future families?
Yeah.
But why else would we do
all this effort? For you. It can be a self-love. Yeah, it can be You're for right. you. Don't get me wrong. It can be for you.
You know, men are actually high-key working so hard.
To provide
for a woman in the future.
You're unlocking it,
because I'm realizing...
Because if it was up to you, what would you do?
I would have been fine.
Townhouse.
I would have been fine.
And this is it, eh? Kim, man, you still have more dreams after this studio.
I would have been fine.
You still have more dreams after this studio.
I would have been fine. I would have been good making my money from YouTube.
Stop.
If I just enjoyed having a nice beer,
yeah,
playing PlayStation,
and
but what do I yearn for the most?
You see,
a companion.
And it's subconscious.
Hey, you're unlocking things in me, my man.
And that's why I said it's not. Kim, and I want to go back. It's not every man. Some men are fine with the 60,000, living alone, big house, cars, grooving until they die. But subconsciously, a lot of men don't know they're actually building all this wealth because they want to be able to say to their wives, "Yeah, here's your dream car." They want to be able to say, here's your dream house. They want to be able to do those things for a woman. And it doesn't sound nice. Like, yo, why don't you do those things for yourself only? My brother in Christ, if it was up to me, myself, I'd have a McLaren and I'd live in a penthouse somewhere in Cape Town. And that's it, hey? No kids, no something. I know that. But that's not what I was called for. I was called to love.
You're called to love.
God knows my heart. I was called to marriage. I was called to be a provider. And because of that, everything that I do now and the work that I put in is not only just for me. So it's not that I'm not doing it for me. It's just that it's not only for me.
So, baby, Fisher, can you see how hard I'm working, baby?
Yeah, you think
it's time for you to appear also you now?
Let me check the time. 13:16. If we don't see you, my lovey Davi, it's December now. 14 December next year. 13:16. I'm gonna check the time. If I'm not in anything serious, then oh God, maybe I was wrong about this podcast. And that's what you do when you go play, what is it called? The roulette of Jesus. You put a date and you say, Jesus, we don't do this by this time. I'm shooting.
Baby, don't you feel better because, but I guess we have different things. Don't you feel better because you have a brother who's 27?
Yeah.
And he's still single.
Yeah, I think that is the most...
It doesn't make you a bit more comfortable.
Like, oh, no, man, it's a big blessing. It's a big, big blessing. I want to tell you guys something. Like, half my mates from like high school are married, you know? Or engaged at 26, 27, 25, you know? These are the guys that are 1 year older than me, 2 years older than me. Majority of them either got a girl pregnant, not by choice, like by mistake. And then the other half got married intentionally because they're white.
Not by choice.
Not by choice, by mistake.
By raw.
By raw. Deaf by raw. But yeah, man, for me, I take it as a blessing, bro. Like, my brother being 27 and single just shows you how much effort he's putting into his career. He's very career-driven, you know. Yes. In the movies, Tato's the woman who pours wine and goes into an empty flat of a dog and what at 27 and they're bashing her and saying, when are you going to get married? You know, but in reality, she's accomplished. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So it's 50-50, but hey, man, hey.
You know what I realized recently, man?
Right.
Like, you have those movies where, like, there's a relationship happening or a marriage and they've got kids. And it's like, you all the guys coming to home late, working hard.
Yeah.
It's all talking about work. When I was seeing people this year, I realized that I'm that guy. And I didn't like it.
Mm.
Like, I'm the career-driven person who values their career over family, friends and experiences.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you never hear, like, it's like me. I'm there, like, I might not even come this Christmas.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Because that's how much it means to you.
That's how much my career means to me. And I always catch myself whenever I'm in a talking stage, I'm talking so much about work.
Yeah, I talk a lot about work as well. It's a bad habit.
And it's scary for me because it's like based off how hard we've been working all these years, I'm struggling to find a woman of caliber to match or understand where I'm at. Not that I'm like a multi-millionaire.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'd say I'm a successful YouTuber.
Yeah.
Someone to bring people into my space. Like, oh, I'm going to my studio. No. For some people, it excites them too much and it makes them start watching the wrong things.
Yeah.
But no, that's not the
same. And hey, bro, it low-key is, because it all goes back into what we were speaking about, like ages, mentality, mindsets, etc. And picking the right partner, guys, is what I want to tell everyone is a lifelong journey.
Yeah, some people get married and get divorced, by the way.
Or some people get married and get married. In another province. And some people get married, divorced, and then marry the person again.
Sometimes you have to get a wife to find the love of your life.
No, I don't think so.
The love of your life is not your wife, it's just actually.
I truly believe that love is like success. You understand? Like, love is like success. You'll only know you have it when you have it. You know what I'm saying? You'll only know you have it when you have it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We've really, 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 I'm trying to work. I mean, 14 December, half of you guys are on leave already, but we're still pushing because we understand entertainment does not have a leave date. So thank you so much for listening. We hope to have more conversations with you. And if you have not, please check out our Instagram. We are way more interactive. Our stories are going crazy. So please go give that a look. So you can keep up with all the updates of us as well as the podcast. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, sure. See you guys next week.
Yeah, see you guys next week. Ray-Bans and catamarans, baby, give me a life. I'll be living a life. Ray-Bans and catamarans.